Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. This is your host, Allison, and, you know, I'm always happy that you decided to join me, so thanks for dropping in. I want to let you all know that the personal monthly numerology forecasts for August are up on the website, so if you do not receive the newsletters, you can go straight to www.visiblebynumbers.com and read your forecast on the monthly forecast page. But hey, while you're there, why not sign up for the newsletter and so you get that information emailed to you the first of the month, so it's a lot easier. So sign up for the newsletter. But for those of you that aren't, just go right to visiblebynumbers.com, the monthly forecast page, and there you'll get your forecast for August. Now, I have a very special guest who I am certain all of you will enjoy. My guest this evening is Debbie Edwards. She's an international medium and a fourth-generation channeler from both sides of her family. For a decade, she's taught classes and workshops for mediumship, psychic development, and forms of meditation. She also conducts private and group sessions for after-death communication, palmistry, tarot, psychic readings, animal messenger readings, remote viewing of both residential and commercial properties to assess spirit activity, hauntings. She also does dream interpretations and more. In the media, she's participated in many radio programs. They were both syndicated in podcasts. She's the founder and creator of the radio production Meta Visionaries Global Live Radio and co-founder and creator of Mysteries of the Multiverse Radio, which are both featured on BTR as Internet Podcast Productions. And she's also a wonderful writer, and she's written about many, many subjects of the occult, paranormal phenomena, metaphysics, quantum mechanics, just about anything that has to do with the spiritual, she's probably written on it. She's a featured columnist for the Ascension Network, and she is the founder and moderator of www.metavisionaries.com, which is a social network of consciousness focused on ascension and transcendence. She is also the co-founder, creator, and moderator of Mysteries of the Universe at Mysteries Multiverse. Well, you're just going to have to get these things off. Okay, Ming.com, which I know right, that went over everybody's head, but we'll make sure that you get those websites. And that's a social network created for out-of-the-box thinkers. She also is the author of Voices Speak, A Beginner's Guide to Spirit Communication, and she's currently working on the second edition. And a really great place for you to read all about her is if you went to www.blogtalkradio.com/Debbie Edwards, and you can get a lot of her bio information there. And then you can also link off to all those websites that I messed up on that was a little bit too hard for me to say. So anyhow, that's a great place to go to get more information on her. In the meantime, what I just really would like to do is stop the introduction and just say, hey, Deb, thanks for coming to the show.
Well, welcome. Thank you so much, Allison, for having me.
Well, I'm very delighted to have you. First off, you have the face of an angel. You do know that, don't you?
Oh, thank you very much. I think like all females, especially as we get a little older, we tend to think, well, now, you know, pick ourselves apart. But so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, I think you're just beautiful. And I have the opportunity and the privilege to read your book, Voices Speak. It's a beginner's guide to spirit communication. And I must say, Debbie, that you're a really good writer. I found the book really interesting, very well written, and I really enjoyed it. And I have to say that one of the things that I was so incredibly impressed by in the book, mean, there's a lot of wisdom in there. There's a lot of wonderful advice for psychic development. But what I found just extraordinary were when you were writing about these various different meditations in there, mm-hmm. they're absolutely beautiful meditations.
Aww, thank you. Yeah, you know, in a lot of the meditations, I should actually rephrase that. A lot of the book itself, honestly, is direct visualization, meditation, and one-on-one work I've done with my guides exclusively. So
right.
It wasn't so much of an imagery that I was painting from a blank canvas for the readers, so much, you know, to where it was actually something I've personally experienced with my guides. There's also, you know, several real-life experiences in there that cap off on past lives. You know, and it also talks about, of course, psychic protection, but really the balance between, you know, the light and shadow self and positive and negatives and how to keep a balance and maintain. But, yeah, the meditations, I really wanted to focus on that. And the way that I wrote the book was intended to be like a visual meditation that you read, you know, rather than something that you hear, say, through audio. But, of course, you had asked me prior to the show about an audio production of the meditations that are included in the book, which that is something that I am considering doing in the very near future.
Well, I wouldn't consider doing it. I would simply put it on my agenda because those are beautiful meditations. And I,
thank you.
You know, when you put that to music and with your voice, I'm sure that they'll be very profound for people. I mean, some people do really well with guided imagery and guided meditations. And I've experienced profound meditations both ways, on my own and also guided, and I just thought that they were beautiful meditations, and I know that I'm going to hold on to some of that information and actually use it in my meditations as well, because I just thought they were perfect. So
wonderful.
I just wanted to give you kudos for them, besides the fact that there's a lot of really wonderful information in the book. I think one of the things that cracked me up was you were talking about sleeping and dreams. You're kind of like talking mm-hmm. about dreams and dreams interpretation. You talk about sleeping, and you say you sleep with a fan on.
Yes, of course.
And, yeah, and also you kind of like a little light bulb went off in my head because you said that the fan, you know, kind of drowns out any outside noises mm-hmm. and that it actually is like a white noise.
Yeah.
And that's the sole purpose. I've always slept with a fan on as long as I can remember. As a matter of fact, I've driven several a husband crazy because of the fact that I always sleep with a fan. If they were to give you a list of things that they hated about Allison, it would be, she sleeps with a fan.
I know. It's so funny. It's actually more common than what a lot of people realize, too, especially people that have a heightened sensitivity to, you know, their surroundings, whether it's through sight, you know, sensory, the smell, anything like that. But really when you have a heightened sensory perception of spirit energy, you know, electromagnetic currents, frequencies of vibration, things like that, you know, you're going to be ultra keen and aware whether you want to be or not, especially at night. And a lot of people, especially as they start to really do a lot of dream work, they lose a lot of sleep. They go through a lot
right.
of insomnia. And this is a great way to do this without having to, you know, put yourselves to the test with earplugs, which really, I think, become more of an obstacle than anything because your mind automatically wants to pay more attention, closer attention to things going on because they can't hear anything.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And with animals and children and everything else, it's a really great way to, you know, be able to maintain a steadier sleep pattern, but also how it raises the vibrational frequency in the room. So
yeah,
that,
well, does you, right.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing I found interesting is, you know, if you follow along with people that do paranormal investigations, they actually have equipment that creates a magnetic field in a room in order or magnetic field that the spirit energies can actually draw on, whether to manifest or messages or things like that. And that they actually create these fields, and then you, somewhat in the book is a little bit suggestion that perhaps the fan itself creates that field. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were implying?
Well, in a way, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of people hear the reference of the veil, and I kind of look at it this way, is that it raises the frequency of vibration in that immediate surrounding. It's not something that's going to, you know, really emulate through the entire house or anything like that, but it's mainly just located just in the bedroom or just in that localized area. And really what I've found is that it intensifies our senses to be able to pick up and tune into all of the spirit energies, vibrational energies that are going on around us that are non-physical.
Right. So you actually lay there. I know that I've experienced it with, it's that place where you're not asleep yet. But it's that place where you're totally relaxed. It's that place where you're in that place somewhere between being awake and being asleep. And you see pictures and you hear people talking and kind of like movies are going on and you think, well, that was interesting what they said, but you're not asleep yet. You are well aware that you're still awake, but you still see all this stuff. And I never associated that with the fact that I always slept with a fan, but I always found that really amusing just before you go to sleep, all that activity that you see.
Yeah, and it's true because it really does have a dual effect. Not only does it help you go into a longer state of the REM stage of sleep, but it also gives you more consistency with dream work as well as the rejuvenation factor of consistent hours, consecutive hours of sleep. But it also intensifies the, you know, perception of being able to perceive everything that's going on around you with, you know, the currents of vibration and things like that. And the cool part about that is, so not only are you better rested, but you actually have more vivid dreams, you have stronger experiences, you know, and you overall have a more balanced, you know, experience when it comes to, you know, the subconscious part of tuning in, you know, during the dream state.
Well, I thought that was pretty interesting. And you have some interesting chapters there on dreams, but you pretty much teach everything, which I think is you know, very well-rounded. And so one of the things that I want to tell our listeners is we had planned for this evening for, you know, to talk about Debbie and her work and what she has to offer everyone, certainly. And then we had planned on opening up the lines. And Debbie was going to very generous about doing readings for our listeners. However, Debbie's been sick for the last couple of days, and she didn't want to cancel the show. God bless her little heart. But really, any reader will tell you that when your energy level is down and when you are not feeling well, that you really should cancel your appointments. You shouldn't be doing any readings. You should just really be resting. And so Debbie is going to just not, God bless you, but I wouldn't let you do readings if I knew you weren't feeling well. So I'm going to have to let my listeners know that Debbie is not going to be doing, per se, readings for you. But you have someone here that really teaches all aspects of anything that has to do really with the spiritual. So you may be interested in palmistry. You may be interested in mediumship, in developing your psychic abilities. Maybe you have questions having to do with the tarot, or maybe you will aspire someday to be, you know, to be able to do readings for animals. And also, you know, Debbie knows a lot about, you know, like with our homes and having energies in our home, whether they're invited or not invited. She has a lot of information about clearing your space and that sort of a thing. Maybe even some investigating, you know, as far as whether or not your house is haunted, that sort of stuff. So we have someone on the show that really is an expert in many, many fields. So I don't want you to just go, oh, darn, I can't get a reading, because you actually can get some extraordinary advice and some extraordinary insight. So
I do
encourage our listeners that if you've got a question in any of those arenas, that you're more than welcome to pick up the phone. You're more than welcome to call into the show, and Debbie will give you her best advice. And I might throw in my two cents as well. So I do want to give you the toll-free numbers, toll-free 888-815-9756, and that's worldwide. You can also call in on 530-776-5185, 530-413-4511, 530-876-3222, and finally 530-876-9916, and I know I read them off really quickly, but if you go to www.bbsradio.com, all the telephone numbers are right there on the front page. Now, Debbie, before we get too knee-deep into questions and into other, you know, questions that I have for you, maybe you'd like to, you know, because your journey is to get to where you are today, you know, maybe you might want to explain what it's like to come from a family with this is really something that comes down through the generations and talk about how you realized that you had this ability and what kind of support you had as a child to help you to develop to the place where you are now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I'd love to answer this question because I really think everybody has experienced both aspects of, you know, say you have, you know, vivid dreams that are precognitive, premonitions, things like that. For me, everything started when I was 5. That's when I really remember my earliest experiences. They were very profound. I remembered what it was like to be an adult, even though I was only 5. I remembered what it was like to be in a marriage, even though I was only 5, you know. But I also had a lot of vivid dream visitations and things like that with spirit. And when I was 12, my grandfather had passed on, and I was able to embrace his spirit after he passed. But also when I was young as well, I had an older relative that would come and stand at the end of my bed. So it was something very natural to me. It was also something that, you know, my mother embraced. She never told me, you know, that it wasn't real. And I never had a need for imaginary friends or anything like that, because she was always open to the experience, and, you know, they would come and go and things like that. But, you know, it was something that I kind of always, you know, experienced the world through a different way of perceiving, you know, real energies and interaction and things. I would just kind of always know things about people. And I was even thinking about this yesterday as I remember doing, when I was 18, I remember doing after-death communication spontaneously with somebody and connecting with his father who had passed on. But really, as far as the support system I had, you know, I experienced both, where I had misunderstanding, discrimination, fear, skepticism, as well as, you know, the aspect of openness, embracing it, encouraging it, and also helping me on the journey. So I had both in my home with family that, you know, where one was open and one was not. And then I also, in a school environment too, growing up, it was the same way. There were a couple, you know, that were open, but the majority, I mean, I went to Catholic school, you know. I went to Catholic school. I went to public school. I did the whole thing. And, you know, I attended Mass every Sunday until I was 18. But the thing was, is what I found and discovered is that the skepticism really came from an exposure with everybody else around me. It wasn't something that they commonly experienced, if at all. And so really it was, you know, new territory for them, and they didn't really fully embrace it. You know, and even myself, it wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that all of a sudden it completely blossomed for me. And I just spontaneously started reading for people, very much dove into the studies of it, and it's just been growing ever since. But, you know, I've, in a public forum and venue, I'd say for the last decade, I've been, you know, conducting workshops and seminars and things like that. But really, you know, it's just a matter of taking that leap, but, you know, trusting my own guidance system, you know.
Sure.
And yeah, right. Like, even when you're sitting in front of somebody and you know what you're perceiving, you know what you're receiving from spirit and what you're being shown, a reader, I really believe truly that part of their authenticity comes from trusting spirit over anything that they say, because sometimes they're embarrassed or ashamed or not ready to confirm the information you're giving them. And that's part of it. And I think that's where sometimes readers do become doubtful of their own ability. Because
right.
of people
well,
that
I think,
they're reading for. Yeah.
Right. Well, one of the things that I really, especially since I would say over the past 8 years, there's been a relative explosion of information. I mean, perhaps the Internet has a lot to do with it because, you know, people have the ability to seek out like-minded people on the Internet, like-minded websites, websites that have a tremendous amount of information. And so I believe that the time for an awakening or for people embracing a more open-mindedness to what is a very natural phenomenon that we all are psychic to a certain extent, that we all receive guidance from above. We are not here clueless that God did leave breadcrumbs and that he did not stop speaking to us, you know, in the biblical times, that there still are prophets that walk amongst us even in 2009. But what concerns me a little bit is this veritable explosion of everyone hanging up a shingle and saying, I'm a medium, I'm a psychic.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that yesterday, actually.
It's just an explosion. It's just like everybody and his brother all of a sudden has jumped on the psychic medium bandwagon. And I'm wondering, especially myself being somebody that this is kind of been a something that's been with me for a very long time, you know, how, if you've been hanging around the ballpark for a long time, I mean, how do you perceive this? How do you look at this? You know, that now everybody's coming out of the woodwork. Are these legitimate psychics and mediums, or are these psychic and medium wannabes, or what do you think the deal is?
I think it's both, to be honest with you. First, I do believe that as we really start to ascend into a unified global consciousness where our perception, our sensitivities are becoming heightened and stronger, especially now that we're all able to connect, whether it's via the web or libraries or, you know, film, what have you, but we're all able to really understand what we are based on what we see as examples. So, you know, giving us kind of a foundation to work with. Now, I think that that's part of why there's more popping up. Another aspect, too, is I think it's something where people jump the gun, and I think they get just really excited because they do have a natural ability that's heightened, you know,
right.
And it's something
Hold on
that,
a second, Debbie. Hold on just a second, honey. I know that we got a caller there, and I assure you, caller, that we'll be right with you. We're going to let Debbie finish her thought, and then we'll get right to your question, okay? So just hang in there for a sec. Okay, go ahead,
Debbie. I was wondering what that was. No, and I'll be brief. I just think it's something that to where people jump the gun a little bit before they're ready, and it all has to do with how they discipline themselves. For me, I really, really, really go on... I'm more hard on myself, I think, than other people are on me, and I think discipline is such a huge part of it, having a wide library of symbolism to work with, really understanding many different aspects of energy anatomy and the interaction and so many different understandings of metaphysics, quantum physics, you know, dreams, just so many different things. And that gives us a base of understanding to where we can perceive messages without misinterpreting them, too often, and really just training ourselves to be stronger and more precise with what we do.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to take a moment now, and I'm going to see who's calling. So I know somebody beeped in, so who's calling?
Hi, Dean.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
I do. I just, you're both very fascinating to listen to, and I'm learning a lot. I just had a question. I have a new grandson that was born July 21st, and I just wondered if you could give me any insight on him.
Was that this year?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Debbie isn't, as I said earlier,
she isn't.
Oh, okay. All right, so I just wanted you to know that. Well, the one thing that really is you know, popping up there for as far as to be notable is I really feel, I don't know where you're landing as far as with your embracing spiritualness and paranormal and whatever, but this child is extremely visual and very strong, clairvoyant energy here. The life path of the medium, actually. And so whether it comes in dreams or visions or this child sees things in pictures, but, you know, you've got somebody there that's, and also a very strong intuitiveness that comes in as well for this particular child. Now, this is really someone that has a lot of star quality, is a gift with artistic expression, a gift with words, and this is where we would want to put somebody on stage, or we would want to put them in front of people, because very likable, very warm, very funny. A lot of that sort of factor, it's star quality, it's the it factor, it's the sparkly factor. This is part of what this you know, this grandchild of yours has. One thing that concerns me is in the beginning part of the life, one of the challenges that I want to tell you is if this was my grandson or my child, I would say encourage the creativity, encourage the laughter, encourage the playfulness. Do not let the circumstances of this child's life inhibit the artistic expression in this child. Or do not let anyone inhibit when this child may say, I see something or I feel something. Or if they this they demonstrate mediumship ability, because there is a big challenge that's written into the chart for this child that can suppress this wonderful, spontaneous, beautiful, artistic expression that this child has, to the point where this child doesn't see themselves as being as charismatic as they are. So you don't want anybody to get too serious on the child, and you don't want anybody to inhibit the child's laughter and joyfulness and ability to express themselves. And that would be a big key factor that I would want to impart to you, because the challenge is there, and whether you can prevent the challenge from happening, because it absolutely is part of what this soul seeks in this lifetime. However, what you can do is recognize and encourage in this child, as being part of this child's life, the creativity, the joyfulness, the expressing from the heart. And also, if the child demonstrates psychic ability or mediumship, to maybe perhaps encourage that as well, or not be fearful of it, just talk to the child about it. I feel that when I'm looking at these pentacles, for this child, I feel that there's a definite direction in a more spiritual venue. So you know how they say children are being born and that they come in and they've got some special things to do. I think that this child has some special things to do in this lifetime, and I really feel that there's a very strong spiritual connotation to the pentacles, and also there's also some star quality, meaning there's an ability to go on stage or be in front of people as well. So we're talking a little bit of fame and fortune there as well. So that's what I would impart with you. I don't have the name, but that's just looking at the date of birth, and that's what I would tell you about that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, and I look forward to getting your book, Debbie.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you.
And thanks, Allison. I love
your
show, and I listen every week.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for your support. I love it. Thank you for calling in. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, with children nowadays, you know what's very interesting, and people don't know this in numerology, but the number 7, we find this in our names, in the different letters in our names, like G, Y, and P are 7s. And when we have a G, Y, or a P in our name, that gives us the 7 energy, which gives us spiritual wisdom, which helps us to embrace a more spiritual philosophy, or be more open to it, or learn quicker, or awaken faster, or have a wiser constitution. And back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, even in the beginning of the 60s, not many people were born with a 7 in their name.
Mm-hmm.
It was more often missing than it was actually present in a name. But nowadays, children are being born and they have this energy in their name. People are replacing I's with Y's, and there's a lot more of choosing what names that have this in it. So children are being born, when they say children are being born more in contact with their divine self or spiritual self, it's absolutely demonstrated in numerology with the names that children are being given now. But these are wiser than we were. And maybe to a certain extent, and this is only not necessarily written in numerology books, but certainly my perception, that for a while there, that there was a group of people that were meant to somewhat remain asleep or unawakened until a certain time. And then when the timing was right, then these people that were born without this all of a sudden begin questioning and all of a sudden begin seeking. And that's why there's been the plethora, or this very strong movement towards embracing more spiritual ideas, more spiritual philosophy. And that's just, it's all about timing. And that's my take on it.
Well, absolutely. And timing is absolutely pertinent. And when we look at, spiritual growth and the ascension process, and when you're talking about children, this is one of my favorite topics. And, when I think of course, a lot of people are familiar with the term indigo children, crystal children, things like that. But really, it's taking on a whole new evolutionary meaning for humankind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something where, we're advancing as, I don't want to say a race or a species, but we're really truly advancing as light body beings. And, these children are being born with transparency, complete transparency. They're able to perceive and understand everything that's going on non-physically around them. And they repeat it. It's not uncommon for these children to, just spurt out their parents' thoughts without the parent actually verbalizing them. I mean, almost verbatim, And so it's amazing that these things are happening. You're correct. I mean, it's really the with numerology and with even just the spirit essence, it's becoming such a stronger, higher vibration of these, you know, little beings that are being born.
I agree. And I see it so often when people give me the names and the date of birth of young children, and I'm looking at that and I'm going, wow. And you could just see where there's just an intensification of energy in the children, and I just find it amazing. And I also feel that you know, until it was time for more or less an awakening of even the people that were born in the 30s, 40s, 50s, in early 60s, I think in many ways that they would not have been able to function in the society and in the environment they were in had they been awakened. It was better to remain clueless or sleeping or whatever you want to call it, or the veil being somewhat thicker so that they're not looking past it. And then as the 2000s came in, certainly that brought in the energy. Because, you know, I can remember back in 2000 when someone asked me, well, what do you make of the year 2000? I said, well, you've got the two, which is talking about cooperation. It's talking about peace and harmony. It's talking about love, the love vibration. It's also a very clairsentient, a very feeling energy. Mm-hmm. Two is empath. It feels for others. It's all or one. And I said, in three zeros, the zero represents a complete and total union with the God source. And so when you bring in those zeros, you have a greater connection to your God. And I said that back in the 2000, when, you know, the year 2000, and it's just continuing to intensify year after year after year. And more people are coming to me for numerology readings who, if you had told them, you know, 5, 10 years ago that they would be speaking to a numerologist and wanting to know what their soul sought in this lifetime or what their destiny was, they would have thought that they were, you know, never in a million years would they have thought that they would be where they are. But it really has awakened people to question, you know, what is this journey about? This cannot be all that there is. And people are looking at things in a much more soulful way. Yeah. And I think that that's just all part of the plan, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, and the amazing part, too, is what I'm seeing, and I really like this, is that a lot of people that may not necessarily have had the experiences with spirit communication, spirit contact, or just even noticing the little signs, the vivid dreams, the precognitive thoughts, they're now starting to notice it within their own lives, and it's adding a whole new dimension to the reality
right.
around them. It's creating this brand new world, in a sense, for them, and it's becoming a beautiful experience. Of course, some people are confused at the same time because, you know, and then also can add an element of fear because they don't understand what is happening. But overall, as a collective, it's a beautiful experience, and it's nice that we all have access to information that can help us grow and understand and really learn about what it is we're experiencing. Because really, and this is what I push in my book, is that honestly, you know, understanding energy is very natural. It's so natural how we interact energetically. And that also includes with people on the other side. And that's where, like, with my meditations, visualizations, I offer multiple examples, but I try to keep it simple, too, where it's something that, you know, becomes a natural process for people. They can just, you know, fall into the visualization, even if they're doing housework or, you know, driving down the road, things like that. I mean, these mm-hmm. are things that, you know, can be a very natural integration into their lives that doesn't have
sure.
to be so rigid and stern.
Right, and you also, I think one of the things that you do very well in the book is that oftentimes this is happening to people, but they're not consciously recognizing it. They can say, well, that was a coincidence, or they're not paying attention. And when you consciously, and as far as, you know, everyone goes, psychics, mediums, oh, that's a great gift. Well, everyone has the gift. Everyone has mm-hmm. the gift. It's not that you came unequipped, you know. You're not spiritually retarded, okay? You don't have a problem. It's just you need to be able to, first and foremost, you have to accept that it is possible. And then once you accept that the infinite possibilities that you yourself are connected to your God source or to your soul or to the divine and that you can receive the information, then you start to pay attention. And when the phone rings and you know who it is, or if you think of somebody and the next day you run into them, or if, you know, there's so many different examples of how you yourself are receiving psychic premonitions and information or dreams. It, you know, you make a very strong point about recording your dreams and paying attention to your dreams. Because, you know, I say it this way, you know, if you start writing down your dreams, then all of a sudden your support system on the other side says, oh, you know what? She's she's paying attention to dreams now. Oh, we can start giving her more information in her dreams because she's writing them down. This is very good. Very, and then all of a sudden your dreams begin to become more profound, or mm-hmm. you begin to realize that there's messages in those dreams that pertain to perhaps problems that you're having in your life. But you have to begin to pay attention first. First off, believe that it's possible. Second off, begin to pay attention. And I think also too, it's just like anything else. You have to use it. You have to use it. I love that what you did with the feet and the colors and trying with your son. Maybe explain that. I thought that was really a cool way to work with somebody to kind of flex your psychic muscles. I thought that was wonderful.
Because you have instant results, and they're easy, and it's not something that's time-consuming. Usually, actually, the longer you do it, kind of the more muddy, I guess, it becomes, because you're so used to seeing just these various colors. I'll explain this. This was really cool, and it was something that I started to experiment with my son when he was 5. So, you know, children are naturally open and things like this, but, of course, adults, you know, too, guys, you can do this, too. It's really cool. You just sit face-to-face with each other. Usually I like to sit on the floor, feet touching. One person becomes the sender. One person becomes the receiver. The intent is to transfer telepathic thought to the other, and by doing so, you just use a simple color. So the receiver would picture, say, a white movie screen or a blackboard in their head, just something very basic, but something their brain can focus attention onto, because that's what the brain naturally does, do what the brain naturally does. So the sender would then fill up their concentration with a particular color, okay? Say the color is blue, and you're just thinking blue, blue, blue. So what I would do as the sender is I would picture the person in front of me that their blackboard becomes splashed with colors of blue, or that their white movie screen becomes just splashed with colors of blue. And I would do that for a few moments until it felt like it was fading away. That fading away feeling means that it's actually working. So after you do that, then you'd ask the person, okay, what color did you receive? And honestly, we had success, my son and I, probably 8 times out of 10. It was correct each time, including even when he was the sender. So mm-hmm. when we do this, we practice our focus and attention on telepathic thought and resonance, but it becomes a simple exercise. Keep the brain busy, but you're also doing an activity, and you keep it simple. You document your results, and you keep doing that, you know, and for me, I think the most important part for people is when they do recognize, okay, they're seeing signs, they recognize they have an ability, but or I should say heightened sensitivities, then what is the next step? The next step, guys, is developing symbolism. What is your strength, and what time of day do you receive messages in the strongest manner? Sometimes it's people in the morning, sometimes afternoon, and, of course, sometimes at night. You want, when you're most alert, to be doing these activities, not when you're really dreadfully tired, because then it feels like you're pulling teeth energetically, and it just, you get a sense of kind of, defeat, I guess I'm not
so, good at this. So you could literally be psychic in the morning, and you could be,
it's
a whole method. That's interesting, because I'm such a morning person, and I really, when people try to schedule readings with me, I'm like, and they want a 9 o'clock at night, I don't do night readings, because I'm too tired, and it really wouldn't, It wouldn't be giving them my best effort, so I'm always very happy when somebody wants a reading at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yeah, that's great, you know, because I love doing an 8 o'clock in the morning reading, because I'm just, like, so psyched and so much more energetic. I never realized you had your moments.
and you follow your internal clock and your internal compass, and that is so, so very vital and important, because really, when you think about it, you know, your internal clock of a 24-hour cycle has a waxing and a waning period. So you always want to make sure that, and just exactly like what you're saying, you know that your timing is in the morning. I know for me, my timing is like, you know, 8 to 10 o'clock at night. I'm cool with that. But, you know, not everybody is. And so, you know, it's really important to know what our limitations are, work with what we are strongest, and, you know, then we just go from there and try not to force ourselves to be like everybody else, allow your symbolism to come naturally, and, you know.
Can I ask a question? I know that this is personal, but I guess it's a question that I would like to know is that, you know, I've been a person that has always dedicated, you know, dedicated to meditation, and always found I always chose a specific time every day for meditation. I had a medium actually that I knew down in Casadagua who told me, you know, pick a specific time every day. He even recommended using a wooden chair because it's connected to the earth and it grounds your energy. And he also said to meditate the same time, the same place every day. That's your very special chair. You build up the energy in that chair. Helps to make your energies your meditations profound and all that stuff. So I was a very avid meditator. I can't say some days I would meditate longer than others, but I at least tried to get there once a day. Mm-hmm. And my time was 2 o'clock, okay, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, and I don't know if this has to do with the ascension process. I don't know what this has to do with. I hit 2 o'clock every day. It's like this wall hits me, and it's not about meditating. It's about crawling into bed and going to sleep for 45 minutes because I am absolutely, it's like my energy is just gone, and I have to go to sleep. And I was trying to figure out, well, why is it, it kind of almost prevents my meditation because there's my time for meditation, but I'm too tired to do it, I'm falling asleep. Sure. Is it possible that the meditation actually occurs in the sleep?
Yeah, and actually, yeah, because what I was going to say about that, with that particular thing, I know sometimes when I'm not either taking enough time or giving enough attention to the natural fluid movement of what my guides are trying to show me, because sometimes when we get in a routine of meditation, we automatically gravitate towards a particular visualization. Say we picture ourselves on a park bench, we picture ourselves near a pond, you know, what have you, and we create, you know, of course we all create our own non-physical sanctuary, which I do promote that as well, but I think sometimes we can also put tunnel vision on ourselves, that because by doing that, you know, and I think even in my own experiences, there are times when it is very pertinent for them to get a message to me, and so immediately, and I don't know if this is just completely physiological in synchronistic ways or if this has to do with them personally, but all of a sudden my energy completely is gone, and I notice what happens is almost my body forces me to sleep. As I'm sleeping, that's when I have incredibly vivid precognitive dreams.
There you go.
That was actually the message. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's
what happened. Okay. Yeah. So that's what I thought. Now, one thing you just got done saying about creating that non-physical place that's your sanctuary, and I do want everyone to understand that this is something not just for you, but it's also something to teach your children. And you know, And I know that you did the little exercise with your son, but I just want to tell everyone what I did with my granddaughter is we would lay in her bed and we would close our eyes, and what we called it is we were going to make our special room and we were going to decorate it and make it exactly perfect just the way that we wanted to. And so we would close our eyes and I would be busy decorating and making my room and she would be making hers. And I kind of got across to her, you can choose anything that makes you happy, anything that you want, put it in your room. And then when we were done making our rooms, then we would tell each other what the rooms looked like, and that was the whole game of it. And so what I thought was adorable was that she had fairies in her room and different things that were really important for her colors. And what color is it? What does your bed look like? Do you have a bed in your room? And we would just go on and on talking about this very special room. And then we would go, you know, the next time that we were together, I'd say, let's close our eyes and go to our room. And then we would say, did you put anything else in your room? And then I would tell her, I left a gift at your door. Do you know what it is? And I'd say, I left you some puppies. And she'd go, oh, I see the puppies, Graham. And then she would bring the puppies in her room. So we had this whole magical thing going on about our special rooms and what were in our rooms. Now, here's the reality of it, is that my granddaughter got a really particularly bad bloody nose, and it was, you know, one of those moments where you're like, oh, you've got to stop the bloody nose, and of course it wasn't stopping, and even my daughter was getting a little anxious, and of course my granddaughter was getting anxious, and I was just trying to remain as calm as possible, and I just said to her, I said, Madison, this is a good time to go to your room. Go to your special room. You just stay there for a while Mommy and I, we get this nosebleed under control. And I said, so just take a deep breath and go to your room. Well, all of a sudden, instead of struggling or being in the moment or being in the fear of what was going on with her, all of a sudden her breathing slowed down, and all of a sudden, with closed eyes, you could just tell that her energy shifted. And consequently, during that time, you know, we got the whole nosebleed under control, and everything was fine. But that is a reason why as well, to demonstrate why you need to teach your children that, that in that sacred space, in that beautiful non-physical place that we go, where we can have the peace and serenity, even when life is chaotic around us, it's a place where we can go and center ourselves, bring ourselves back to center, bring in that peacefulness and calm. And you can teach that to a child. It would a better time to teach it to a child than when they are a child and when they have the beautiful imagination to work with before life, you know, takes that all away from them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I think it's really important, too, for a child's sense of security because, you know, it's something that gives them the added strength and also the balance, too, that they need, but really helping to maintain that natural connection and, you know, dialogue that they have with spirit energy. And,
right.
You know, I love what you do with her. That's really amazing because it's something that really encourages, you know, bringing each other together into this sacred space, you know, spiritually. And it also creates beautiful lasting memories so that when they're adults, that it's something that they can reflect on and meditate and go back to that place almost as a way of, you know, healing hurts or going to a place that becomes a safety net for them in a way, you know, so that they don't feel like they're so far out on a limb. But, you know, it has many, many benefits to it. But, you know, that's an incredible exercise and something
right.
that...
And it's something you can do with your children, and it's something they love to do. It's like, it's just being a child with them for a moment. And it's like we give them coloring book and crayons and we tell them to be creative. But this is just teaching them to be creative and visual in their own minds and being able to see things, which in turn, I mean, quite frankly, with clairvoyance and seeing things, you know, here's another misconception that a lot of people have is that in order to be clairvoyant, that you must see something with your own eyes in order for that to be psychic or in order for that to be, you know, something that comes from spirit. But the truth of the matter is that little movie screen in our mind where we visualize things and where we see things, also psychic premonitions and insight comes there as well. So when you train a child to be able to use the tool to create that visualization inside of their mind like that and create those pictures in it, you're also giving them a tool as far as to receive information like maybe, you know, a warning or maybe, you know, some insight or a premonition of something. You're giving them a tool that's a muscle you're teaching them to use. Not only giving them a sacred space to go to when they need some peacefulness or harmony or when they need to calm themselves, but also, you know, helping them to teach them to visualize in their mind. And it's a game, and they love to play the game. So I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, you know, honestly, have you done the palmistry as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's actually what I started doing. That was
really?
The first type of, I should say, when I say public session, it was a reading that was done for somebody that I did not know whatsoever. Now, to go back in time and to say, you know, I started doing that when I was in junior high, you know, kind of just playing around with, you know, picking up on images for people or using psychometry or things like that. But as far as actual palmistry, yeah, that was something that I started doing publicly about a decade ago. And
did you study palmistry?
I did.
Or are you doing
it
just intuitive?
Did.
Yeah.
Well, I studied it first, and here's what the surprise came for me is that even though I studied it and I was very detail-oriented about the way I categorized my interpretations, but all of a sudden I would notice as I was reading for someone's palm, so many more things would come in that the book did not describe, explain, or prepare me for, and it became an added bonus. And then over the years, it actually kind of took over what the book's interpretations really were.
Uh-huh.
So in a way, my own interpretations evolved, and that became the way I read for other people.
That's really, really fascinating. Well, as much as I hate to say it, I mean, really, there's so much here that you do. But what I would like to do is we probably only got, like, about 3 more minutes left on the show. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, I apologize to the listeners because I know that both myself and Debbie said that, you know, we'd love to do readings for you. And really, you're going to have to come back when you're feeling better because I would love for you. I was really especially fascinated that you can do remote viewing into people's homes and be able to see if they had spirits, energies
in
their
it.
Homes. I think that's fascinating. And so you got to come back for that, because I know quite a few people that would like to call into the show on that one.
I'm so on it, because I tell you what, just based, you know, really from my own sense of integrity, of course I want to be as sharp and at my best as possible, because, of course, I do take responsibility for any information I do disseminate to others. It is something
sure.
they do consider and take, you know, carry forward in their lives and so on, and make choices based on that. So, no, I am absolutely really excited, and I do several types of sessions on the air. The only one I don't do for everybody listening in is the after-death communication, only because of the time constraints. I prefer to spend at least 45 minutes to an hour with each person. However, when I do come back on, I'd be happy to do all sorts of different stuff, questions on love, finances, health, you name it.
Sure. Well, we're going to have to set you up and have you come back. But in the meantime, can you just take a moment and tell people where they can get in touch with you, how they can get your book, what websites to go to or whatever? Take a moment.
Absolutely. Well, I'm the queen of long domain names. So, guys, ahead of time, I do apologize for that. You know, I didn't expect, of course, you know, I like to be creative. The easiest place you can get a hold of me is my email address, okay? It's voicesspeak@yahoo.com. There's two S's in there. Now, you can also visit me, too, on MySpace, myspace.com/serendipitousjourney. Again, long name. Or you can visit me, too, on Blog Talk Radio. I do have my own radio show there that I am more consistent with, which is MetaVisionaries Global Live Radio. The easy URL, blogtalkradio.com/Debbie Edwards, capital D, capital E. So you're welcome to access me there. And, you know, I also have shortcut links to my Facebook and things like that. But, you know, that's in short, the easiest way. You can also purchase, you know, readings as well as my book through those links.
Right. And also, like, if you look in on the front of BBS Radio and you go to Visible by Numbers on Monday night, and if you click on the info tab or even on Visible by Numbers and scroll down, Debbie's website is there as well, and additional information, so you can find it there if you want to get in touch with her. I certainly do recommend listening to her radio show on Blog Talk, because it's a really good show. And I hate to say this, but the 55 minutes have gone, and we have to say goodnight. And Debbie, I sure hope that you feel better.
Thank
and I really
you
appreciate
very
you
much.
Coming on the show, even though you're kind of a little under.
Yes, insomnia and the heat. It just kind of zapped me today. And I so look forward to being a guest on your show again. I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, I'll be
to
in
return.
Touch.
Wonderful.
Sure. I'll be in touch and we'll set it up. And so thank you so much, Deb. And I'll be calling you and we'll get it set up again. And everybody, thank you so much for listening tonight. We really appreciate it. Of course, I'll be back again next week with a new guest, a new topic, and a new show. And in the meantime, I wish you abundant blessings. Good night, everyone. Good night, Deb.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.